Today, President Trump signed several executive orders, including two resurrecting the Dakota Access and Keystone XL oil pipeline projects. Both had been put on hold after fierce resistance from Native Americans and environmentalists, resistance likely to reactivate. And there are also questions today about a comment President Trump made about foreign oil in that televised speech Saturday at the CIA, in which he said the U.S. should have kept the oil after its 2003 invasion of Iraq.
Now, I said it for economic reasons, but if you think about it, Mike, if we kept the oil, you probably wouldn't have ISIS because that's where they made their money in the first place. So we should have kept the oil. But okay. Maybe you'll have another chance.
Maybe we'll have another chance. How'd that go over in Iraq? Borzu Daragahi is Middle East correspondent for BuzzFeed News. He's in Erbil in Iraq. He's been covering militias fighting ISIS there. He joins us by Skype. And Borzu, what are you hearing?
I think there was a lot of anger at comments like this. This wasn't the first time he said we should have taken Iraq's oil. He said it in September very, very distinctly as well, and that made an impact. People basically saying that, you know, I've never taken up arms before in my life, but if the U.S. tried to do that, you know, by golly, I would take up weapons and fight them and not let them do that.
Yes, he said that as a candidate, we should have taken the oil. Now he's president, saying maybe we'll have another chance.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know where the logic comes from in that. I think that there's just like real fundamental dangerous assumptions in what he's saying. First of all, ISIS was not formed because of Iraqi oil. You know, Iraqi oil came very late into the equation around 2014 when ISIS was already very well established. But also just, you know, I mean, you have right now 5,000 U.S. soldiers, military personnel in Iraq fighting, in some cases, alongside Iraqi troops. These guys are fighting on the same side at this point, fighting against ISIS. And for the president of the U.S. to come out and say that, you know, someday down the line, we're going to be attacking our allies and taking their oil, or, you know, maybe he meant it more peacefully, we're going to use legal mechanisms to take their oil money. I don't think that helps the war effort right now. We're in a very crucial time here in the north of Iraq, where Iraqi troops, Shia militias, Kurdish Peshmerga, as well as U.S. forces on the ground, you know, risking their lives, are about to try to take the sort of very dangerous western Mosul area, as well as parts of northwestern Iraq in Nineveh province. I don't think that is a kind of encouraging thing that people would want to hear from their allies, that they're going to be taking and exploiting your oil once this whole thing is over.
Well, and so you have fighters have already said to you, I will take up arms and I will kill Americans if that's the case. And they're working side by side in some cases with them. But we're wondering, Borzu, do some people think the U.S. has already taken the oil? Let's put this in context, because we remember in the run-up to the war, people who doubted that there were weapons of mass destruction, and there weren't, thought that one of the reasons that people like Dick Cheney wanted to go in, you know, he was formerly the head of Halliburton, which is an oil services company, and there was suspicion that the war was about seizing the oil from Iraq, because the oil fields had been closed because of sanctions. Years after that, many involved with the war said that was part of the reason for going in. What's your take on that theory?
Well, I mean, I think if people recall, in the months before the U.S. invasion, Saddam Hussein was trying to stave off any kind of U.S. attack. And one of the things that he said is like, you want the oil? Come, let's make a deal. It was the sanctions preventing international oil companies from coming into Iraq and exploiting it, not Saddam Hussein. You know, many people said that the war was for oil, but I don't think so. I think that the war, the U.S. invasion, was an attempt by the Bush administration and people in a certain ideological segment of the foreign policy establishment to sort of assert once and for all U.S. hegemony over the region. And it was a disaster. And, you know, for Trump to come and, you know, sort of reduce it to, you know, it was about oil, we should have at least taken the oil. I don't know if that's productive at this point.
Well, and now those oil fields, which are open, are being run largely by foreign companies. You've got ExxonMobil, BP, Shell in there. So in effect, if Donald Trump seizes the oil, he's seizing it from them.
And from other countries, including Russia and China, that have significant investments in the Iraqi oil sector. I don't think they're going to be very happy about that. These are, you know, nuclear-armed superpowers.
Well, Imbozu, while we have you, you're there with the militia fighting ISIS. Donald Trump has, on the one hand, promised to eradicate ISIS, but on the other has campaigned on a promise to put America first and withdraw from U.S. entanglements abroad. What is the hope of the people in Iraq that you're meeting, the militias, for his presidency?
I wouldn't say just the militias. I would say even the armed forces people that I've met with, the Iraqi officials that I've met with over the last year or so coming to Iraq. They hope that the strategy continues, the strategy that the Obama administration and the coalition partners refined. It's working slowly and not maybe as spectacularly as some would like. But, you know, slowly but surely, the Iraqi armed forces have gotten off of their terrible situation that they were in 2014 and built themselves up into an effective fighting force. Slowly but surely, ISIS is losing territory, you know, sometimes a lot of territory. This is a strategy that is, you know, quite effective at this point. And they're doing this without having a whole bunch of U.S. troops here. So I think the great hope among many Iraqis is that this process will continue as it has been going forward.
Borzu Daragahi, Mideast correspondent for BuzzFeed News, speaking to us from Erbil in Iraq. Borzu, thank you.
It's been a pleasure.